This webcast is made possible by the listener members of the Classical Network and WWFM.org. Thank you for your support. Steinway & Sons is a proud sponsor of Between the Keys featuring Jed Distler. To learn more about Steinway & Sons, maker of handcrafted pianos since 1853, visit www.steinway.com. And hello, welcome. This is Jed Distler, artist in residence for the Classical Network. I'm so happy that you've joined me for the next hour and another episode of Between the Keys. The process of discovery is this week's topic. Whether we're talking about discovering a composer that I've never heard of before, or I speak about a friend who constantly discovers and unearths rare recordings, or the discovery of a young musician bound for greatness, or discovering recordings by a great pianist only to discover shortly thereafter that these recordings by this great pianist were actually fakes. Some of you might know whom I'm talking about, but we'll get to that in a little while. But first, I want to talk about a pianist friend named Suzanne Kessel, who is based in Bonn, Germany. She's constantly discovering interesting composers, both past and present. On one of her very first CDs, she included a suite by a Turkish composer named Ulvi Cemal Arkin. He was born in 1906. He died in 1978. This is a suite that's called Bez Damla, which means five drops. It was written in 1931 when the composer had just returned home to Turkey after 5 years in Paris, where he studied with Nadia Boulanger, who was probably the world's most sought-after composition teacher of her time. These five short pieces represent a marvelous fusion, I think, of Western classical and Balkan folk music traditions, and I think you'll really like them. I certainly do. Let's listen together.
Thank you.
Music by the Turkish composer Ulvi Cemal Arkin. A suite of 5 short pieces entitled Bez Damla, which means 5 drops, performed by pianist Suzanne Kessel. One of my closest friends is a remarkable man named Alan Evans, and record collectors probably are familiar with his name as the producer of many historic CD releases, primarily on his own Arbiter and Arbiter World labels. In a way, he's like an archaeologist in that Alan discovers, rescues, and preserves important world music recordings and recordings by classical artists that otherwise would have disappeared, or perhaps recordings that were not even known about. For example, in the early 1990s, Alan discovered a wealth of live performances and broadcasts with the pianist Mieczysław Horszowski. Alan located an interview with Horszowski where the pianist spoke about his visit to Rome in 1940, where he had recorded about an hour's worth of solos for the Vatican Radio. Now, being the indefatigable researcher that he is, Alan made contact with the archivist at Vatican Radio. Not only did Vatican Radio have the Horszowski broadcast, but it actually was preserved on tape. Apparently, Radio Vatican had acquired one of the first tape recorders. Tape recorders had only just been invented in the early 1940s. Many years later, a pile of tapes were brought out of a storage area and was to be thrown out. And a visiting musician saw one of the tapes with the name Horszowski written on the edge of the box. And the musician pleaded, "Don't throw this out. You can't throw this out." Thankfully, the archivist and his staff carefully threaded this Horszowski tape, this old tape, into a machine and were able to make a digital copy just in time before the original reel-to-reel tape deteriorated. Apparently, these are the earliest existing tape recordings of any pianist. Let's hear the chorale from César Franck's Prelude, Chorale, and Fugue with Mieczysław Horszowski, recorded either February 29th or March 1st, 1940, for Vatican Radio on tape. Thank you. That was the chorale from César Franck's Prelude, Chorale, and Fugue with pianist Mieczysław Horchowski, recorded in 1940 on a very early tape recorder for the Vatican Radio. Now here's a different kind of discovery story. Back in 2010, I was following the Queen Elizabeth Piano Competition in Brussels when all of the rounds were being podcast. And one pianist who caught my attention was a young woman named Jenna Sung. 4 years later, I had the opportunity to hear Jenna Sung at her London recital debut in Wigmore Hall, and her artistry had clearly ripened, and it was a marvelous recital. A CD from the concert became available soon after, and one of the highlights from the recital was Maurice Ravel's Gaspard de la Nuit, from which we're going to hear the opening movement, Ondine. Here's pianist Jenna Sung.
Thank you.
Music by Maurice Ravel, Ondine, from the three-movement suite Gaspard de la Nuit, with pianist Jenna Sung, recorded live at her November 16th, 2014 Wigmore Hall debut in London. I was actually at that concert, and a CD from that concert is now available. This is Jed Disler, artist in residence of the Classical Network, and you are listening to Between the Keys. The theme of this episode is discoveries and the unexpected delights that result from discoveries. You can imagine what delight Frederick Marvin must have felt when he discovered a manuscript copy of Antonio Soler's Fandango in Barcelona's Biblioteca Central. It's an amazing work. It's basically a passacaglia over a harmonic bass ostinato that's only two bars long, yet these two bars generate 463 bars worth of wild variations that conjure up images of guitars and castanets, and it all builds to a fiery climax. Although this work usually is performed on the harpsichord, I am a little bit of a heretic because I think it's even more effective played on piano, especially by Frederick Marvin in this live performance that, according to the CD booklet I have here, it was recorded sometime between 1969 and 1986.
Thank you. Thank you.
The Fandango by Antonio Soler with Frederick Marvin at the piano in a live performance issued on the Gebhardt label. The only information they give about the performance is they say it took place between 1969 and 1986. It's a pretty big window of time. In any case, the audience sounds rightfully exhilarated after such an inspired performance. Now, talking about unexpected discoveries, back in 2006, I was made aware of this vast treasure trove of recordings that were issued by a record company called Concert Artist. It had an amazing range of repertoire, all recorded by one pianist whose name was Joyce Hatto, whom no one ever heard of before. I mean, certainly I had never heard of her before. But I was impressed with many of the Joyce Hatto recordings that were sent to me, and eventually I got to meet Joyce Hatto over the phone a few months before she died in 2006. After she died, I met her husband in London, who had produced all these recordings, and he gave me a whole bunch of discs because I was preparing an article about Joyce Hatto. And then a few months after this interview, it turned out that all of these Joyce Hatto recordings were fakes. They were all copied from other pianists' performances, often with the tempos and the sound quality manipulated a little bit, but without changing the pitch. And even in some cases, there'd be a recording that would combine the best of several different pianists' interpretations, all spliced into one. It really was quite a scandal, and it got a lot of press attention, and I got a lot of notoriety from this. Most of the Joyce Hatto recordings eventually were correctly identified. However, there still are some recordings that await proper identification. For instance, there was a really beautiful Schubert disc that had two sonatas, and I still don't know who the pianist really is. Here is the slow movement of Schubert's A major sonata, Deutsch number 664. This is beautiful, limpid, elegant, translucent playing. Now, we know it is not Joyce Hatto, but who is it? Thank you. The Andante from Schubert's Sonata in A Major, Deutsch number 664. This is from a recording issued on the Concert Artists label credited to pianist Joyce Hatto, as were more than 100 other discs on this label, where the performances turned out to have been copied from recordings by other pianists, many of whom have been identified. Yet so far, no one has been able to identify the performances on this Schubert disc. Who is playing? Another pianist who I discovered by chance had a very strong and absolutely authentic artistic identity. That was the late Brazilian pianist Antonio Barbosa, and his recordings of the complete Chopin mazurkas are just so full of character and color. Let's listen to a few of them. Several mazurkas by Chopin in B major, opus 41, number 3, and G major, opus 67, number 1, pianist Antonio Barbosa. We're going to conclude with another brilliant Brazilian pianist, Antonio Vaz Lemich, and this is the second movement of a sonata by a Brazilian composer whose work I'm just discovering, André Memari. Wow, there's a lot going on in that music, for sure. That was the second and last movement from a piano sonata written in 2011 by the Brazilian composer André Memari. He was born in 1977. The pianist was Antonio Vaz Lemes. And that brings this rather eclectic program of discoveries and unexpected delights to a close. I hope you've been enjoying this music as much as I enjoyed putting it together. This is Jet Disler, artist in residence of the Classical Network, and I hope we will be together next week at this time for Between the Keys. This show is an exclusive production of the Classical Network and WWFM.org.